Here on WEAA 88.9, I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Tuesday. Support for WEAA is provided by ADT. More information available at ADT.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9. And don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That's my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to. And, of course, I won't. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will have a discussion about a new, and the best way I can describe it is, urban renewal project that comes under the umbrella of the Housing and Urban Development, I believe. We'll have that discussion coming up in the second hour. Then our man, one of our main men, Finesse Demps of Indie Soul Magazine, will join us for a modified episode of the Hollywood All-Stars that's coming up all in the second hour of the show. We're going to be talking about the Billboard Awards. I believe that's what we're talking about. And amongst other things, we have a couple other things that we're going to talk about as well. But before we get to that, we have to get to the tragic story of the murder of Richard Collins III, this young man who would have graduated today from Bowie State University. We devote the first hour to his death and the circumstances around it. We go first to Carrie Wells of the Baltimore Sun. Carrie, thank you for joining us this evening. We appreciate it.
Hi, happy to be here.
So let's just start from Richard Wilbur Collins, who was already commissioned, I believe last week or 2 weeks ago, to be a second lieutenant in the Army, as I mentioned a moment ago, would have graduated from Bowie State University on today. Unfortunately, tragically, he was murdered over the weekend. I mean, legally and journalistically, I'm not supposed to say that, but from all reports that I've seen, that's what the situation is. However, let's start with Saturday morning. What can you tell us about what happened in those early morning hours on the 20th of May?
So Richard Collins was visiting friends at the University of Maryland around 3 a.m. Early Saturday morning. They were waiting at a bus stop on the campus, waiting for an Uber, when, according to police, a man kind of jumps out of the bushes and he says, step left, and Mr. Collins says no. And then he is stabbed. And shortly after, police picked up their suspect, who is Sean Urbanski, and he is now charged with first and second degree murder.
So I believe we know, and I'm asking you, Richard Collins was not armed. And I believe from all that I've seen, and again, you can help us with this. To my knowledge, the two men did not know each other, right?
No, this was an unprovoked attack. They didn't know each other, and that's what police have said.
There was no altercation maybe earlier in the evening, to my knowledge, either.
No, police have not said anything about that.
Okay. So what do we know about, well, before I even go to Urbanski, from what I've seen, Urbanski was apprehended, at the scene. What do we know about the process and how he was apprehended, or how was he apprehended without incident, for lack of a better term?
He was identified by witnesses and picked up not far away. I can't remember exactly how far away it was, but he had been identified by witnesses.
And according to authorities, he was intoxicated and perhaps incoherent. I mean,
Yes, that is what they've said.
Okay. So going back to Urbanski specifically, what we found out later, detectives were informed after Collins' murder that Urbanski was a member of a racist Facebook group called Alt-Reich, spelled R-E-I-C-H, as I suspect a reference to the Third Reich, Alt-Reich Nation, a play on the alt-right entity as well. What do we know about this? Now, I guess it's been website, or rather the Facebook page has been deleted?
Yeah, I checked for it yesterday. The Facebook page has been deleted. The police have said that it contained a lot of racist memes and jokes, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So was there direct linkage, if you will, from Urbanski to this page?
Yeah, he was a member of it.
A member of the actual group, the group that spewed all this vitriol towards different groups, quite frankly, not just black people, but different groups. Their hatred was spread around. So let me ask you, Carrie, about the statement by Wallace Lowe, the school's president. And I'm asking you in the context of the fact that I believe earlier this month a noose was discovered in a fraternity house on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been several incidents of racist or racially tinged or racial tension incidents at the campus. What's your best assessment of President Lowe's assessment of the atmosphere on the campus of the University of Maryland, particularly at College Park?
He has said in the past that this is something that people need to acknowledge and hopefully move forward from. But there have been a number of racial incidents on campus just in this last year. There was the nuisance found in the fraternity. Earlier this month, there had been white supremacist posters that were found around campus, I believe in March. And there are incidents in the last few years. There was the pepper spray incident last year where a number of black students were pepper sprayed, and there was an uproar over that. So students have been complaining that these incidents have not been dealt with severely enough. And that also kind of came to a head in light of this murder.
Well, specifically, I believe if it wasn't the president of the Black Student Union, it was a member of the Black Student Union who basically said that people like Sean Urbanski were enabled by the lack of kind of aggressive behavior or aggressive reaction to these types of incidents. That's a strong statement that the campus mm-hmm. and the positioning of the campus and the leadership at the campus, specifically President Lowe, somehow enabled Urbanski to act as he did.
Yes, that has been a complaint by the students. The administration did not respond to us, at least, about that incident this time. They have responded in the past and said they do take these incidents very seriously.
However, we keep these incidents keep happening, and obviously they can't control. Well, you know, there's an admissions process, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a campus is a microcosm of our society, so obviously you can't control every individual, and every individual on a college campus isn't one that maybe adheres to some of the principles that President Lowe has promulgated since these incidents have taken place. However, if there's a sense that these incidents go on without or rather these incidents are allowed to happen with impunity, obviously Shawnee Urbanski is being charged with first and second degree murder. He's being held without bail, so he's not getting away with this mm-hmm. with impunity so far. But these other incidents, what do we know about what the discipline was connected to the noose incident and then the other incidents?
The noose situation is still being investigated. As far as I know, they have not determined who is responsible. As far as the white supremacist posters, I don't believe they ever figured out who did that or what group was responsible. So there is kind of a challenge of that in these situations.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yost, your host. I'm on the phone with Kerry Wells of the Baltimore Sun, who has been reporting on the murder of Richard Collins. The young man was literally scheduled to graduate from Bowie State University today. He had been commissioned in the United States Army as a second lieutenant at age 23. But unfortunately, tragically, he was stabbed to death, murdered by a young man who was a member of a white racist Facebook page, Alt-Right Nation, Alt-Reich Nation, which has since been deleted. I think it's curious, the statement that I've seen by James Brady, who's chairman of the Board of Regents for the University System of Maryland, Kerry. While he refers to the incident as horrific, of course, but says that College Park is not, I'm paraphrasing, is not a cauldron for these kinds of events. Cauldron is a kind of a broad term, maybe. So is it a cauldron? Is it a place where these types of events are incubated or cooked up? Most people would probably say no, but I don't know if that answers or that speaks to these recent events that have taken place on this campus. And these are not isolated events, and this is not an isolated year. It's racial tensions on the campus of the University of Maryland is something that is a matter of historical fact. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say, and I've reported on it for years, so I know it's real. So that's kind of an interesting and maybe even misleading statement by James Brady, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take the temperature of the campus, and we've seen the statements of certain groups, the Black Student Union and others. What is your sense of the unity, if you will, across the campus? Unity in the sense of being compelled to really do something about the atmosphere at the University of Maryland and specifically College Park. What do you think about that?
This is a hard question for me to answer. I don't know if I have a good sense of how much unity there is.
Hmm.
I do know there are a number of student groups. It's called Protect UMD. It's a group of 25 different student groups that represent marginalized communities, and they have come together recently, and they are right now criticizing the administration for what they perceive as a lack of action.
Right. And one more thing. Question about the University of Maryland. I mean, I think President Lowe has talked about increasing security measures around the campus. What can you tell us about that?
I believe they are stepping up patrols. Beyond that, I can't remember exactly what he said.
Okay. As far as I said, the graduation today, the scheduled graduation of Richard Collins at Bowie State, The word I keep seeing recurring over and over about this young man, a couple of words. Number one, character. Also, that he had a strong spiritual faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can we shed any more? I'm believing. I have not been on the campus of Bowie State. I've reached out to several members of the alumni, and they have not gotten back to me. I'm getting a sense that the campus may be somewhat in shock by the murder of this young man.
For sure. They had a vigil for him yesterday. The auditorium that they had it in was just packed. People came up and broke down in tears when they were speaking about him.
Mm.
I spoke with a friend of his who told me a lot about his personality. He said he was very ambitious. He wanted to become a U.S. Army general.
Right.
He said his ambition kind of rubbed off on his friends and inspired them to do better. That he was just a funny guy. He was optimistic. He kind of lit up a room.
Mm.
And he was just very smart. He wanted to see the world and do a lot of fun things. He wanted to go skydiving and that kind of thing.
And surfing, I thought, something
mm-hmm.
I saw as well,
yeah.
Which had me connected to him right there,
mm-hmm.
Seeing that he wanted to actually go surfing as well. What do we know about how his family is faring, Kerry? I mean, I can't imagine right now.
We haven't been able to reach his family who are grieving right now, but we've spoken with his family's pastor, who's serving as a spokesperson.
Right.
And you know, they're devastated, and this person who was at the cusp of, you know, beginning his career is now his life is gone.
Yeah. What the seeming reluctance to charge Urbanski with a hate crime despite his direct involvement with this alt-right nation Facebook group. What do we know about how the process is going as far as making that determination? And further, is there a challenge? I'll leave that question on the table.
Well, the Prince George's County State's Attorney has said that just the Facebook group is not enough to charge him with a hate crime. The FBI is now involved. They're going to be going through his computer and all his online activities and see if there's anything that they can find. The Prince George's County Police are also assisting in the investigation. But they have said just that Facebook group affiliation is not going to be enough.
Mm. We know that Urbanski is from Severna Park, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything about his family?
We do not, and we have not heard from his family. We have reached out to them. They have not made any kind of statement.
Is there any sense that the University of Maryland is reaching out directly to the campus and Bowie State University family? Is there any sense that there may be ongoing activity, cooperation, communication between the University of Maryland and Bowie going forward?
Yes, they have said that they are working with Bowie State related to this. And they've put, the University of Maryland has put out a lot of resources for students to take advantage of stuff like group counseling sessions.
Okay. Anything else that crosses your mind about what has transpired over the last 72 hours or so since the killing, the murder of Richard Collins as we go forward? What are your thoughts?
I think we've covered it pretty well.
Yeah, I think we've covered it pretty well as well. Carrie, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us about this tragedy. I appreciate you.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. Obviously, this situation, again, I part of me, it's difficult for me to get over the fact that this young man, Richard Wilbur Collins, would have been graduating today after years of schooling, dedication to complete his college education. His determination to his goal, as was noted, was to become a general in the U.S. Army. He was going to go into the Army at age 23 as a second lieutenant. There's something incredibly galling about the fact that his life was snuffed out in this way by a someone who, in my mind, it's clear, had fully racist intentions in killing this young man. We're going to talk further about the murder of Richard Wilbur Collins in our next segment with Lisa Snowden-McCray of City Paper. She wrote a really strong commentary about the death of Collins, the murder of Collins, and quite frankly, the connection to his murder with other racist activity and an increase in racist activity, racist attacks, racist intolerance as a result of the presidency of Donald Trump. So stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Lisa Snowden-McCray of City Paper as we continue our reporting on the murder of Richard Collins. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition. Welcome back to edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yose, your host, as we continue our conversation, our reporting rather, on the tragic murder of Richard Collins, young man, 23 years old, would have graduated from Bowie State University today, was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army, wanted to be a general. By all accounts, a man of immense potential, a young man of immense potential, unfortunately, tragically, stabbed to death, murdered over the weekend on the campus of the University of Maryland, College Park. As we continue our reporting on his murder, let's go to Lisa Snowden-McCray, the associate editor and reporter for City Paper. Lisa, always good to hear your voice.
Yes, same here.
So, we covered the logistics, the news, the facts of this story during our first segment with Kerry Wells of The Sun. I want to drill down a little bit on the issue of race and some of the political connections that you brought out in your really strong commentary. Very well done, as a matter of fact. It's no secret, I'm writing about the same thing in my column. I think a lot of people obviously feel compelled.
There can't be too many words that people write about him or any of those.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that it is our duty, literally our duty, to sound the alarm, quite frankly, because I think the overarching narrative of your commentary is that this is what we feared. That is literally the last line of your commentary. It says, this is what we feared. Elaborate on that for us. Talk to us about that thought, that narrative.
Yeah, I think, I was on Mark Steiner's show literally the day after the election, and I didn't want to go on because I had been a mess all night.
Wow.
And I think, he had a lady on who was a Republican, and she was talking about her various talking points.
Hmm.
But for me, it's kind of beyond talking points.
Yeah.
There's no other discussion that we can have if I'm not alive to have the discussion. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
And for me, the thing that's not even an argument, because I know that there's space to have these political discussions, whether this is good or that is good. I don't like this. I mean, I can't do it. But to me, this is not a discussion. This is the fact that Donald Trump election, has emboldened people to go out and do what happened to this young man is a fact for me.
Hmm.
And it was happening before, and that's why I tried to make sure and say in the piece that, this country has already nurtured people like this boy that was a member of this racist Facebook group.
Right.
They already have nurtured these people. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the start of all this, but it makes it much, much easier. It makes it much easier, and it makes it much more comfortable for these people to feel like they can do this.
Well, I agree, and I think the word that I would use is that they are literally encouraged. If you look at the word, they have been encouraged to do to act out this way, whether it is as mundane as racist speech, hurtful speech, intolerant speech, or as egregious and horrific as murder, which Urbanski is guilty of, in my mind. This, I believe, individuals have been encouraged by the ascendancy of Donald John Trump to become the 45th president of the United States. And I think that is, I agree with you, that is a fact of life. You make the point, actually, in your commentary, Lisa, as you go from, and I want to talk to you specifically about Richard Collins in a moment, but you make the point beyond the murder of Richard Collins about the fact that Shelby, the woman, Betty Jo Shelby, was found not guilty. The Tulsa police officer was found not guilty, caught literally on video, gunning down Terrence Crutcher as he walked away from her with his hands in the air, found not guilty. It is just another, I don't know the word or analogy that I want to use or metaphor that I want to use, but it's just another kick in the face to Black people, quite frankly, in the United States.
That our lives are worthless.
Right, right.
I don't know how else to put it.
True. But the point is, these scenarios, these situations, these incidents are tied in your mind, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess because it's like, number one, they both took away lives that didn't have to be taken away. And also, you know, no matter what happens to this Urbanski person, he's still here. His parents can still see him.
Exactly true.
And, you know, with this officer, Betty Jo Shelby, she's still here. I think I saw a story today that said that she's gonna get back pay, just like the officer, I think, in the trial of Freddie Gray's death did.
Right.
And she's gonna go back to work, and her attorney, who told the Associated Press, she was just overjoyed that this was over and she's ready to get back to her life. Like, that was just shocking to me. That's just like, that's what it is. This person is gone. This person has an indelible hole that's left in their family, Terrence Crutcher's family, and she's still here.
Yeah, just it's almost like, I'm glad that's over with. You know, a man was murdered. A man was gunned down as he walked away from this woman, gunned down, shot in the back with his hands over his head, caught on video. And her reaction is, or rather her reaction through her attorney is, well, she's just ready to get on for life. Whew, glad that's over. I mean, wow, that was close. It's amazing. It is amazing. But I think that it points to, again, the heightened sense of entitlement, if you will, by some whites in this country. And again, the fact of the matter that Black lives just don't matter in the minds of many, many people, unfortunately, in our country. And we're going to take a couple of phone calls in a moment, Lisa. But one of the things I want to touch upon before we do that, you talk about the event of graduation in the Black community, what it really symbolizes. And it's something a little bit more significant, at least in your mind, when it comes to Black families celebrating graduations around this time of year. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think when I was sitting there writing the piece, I was thinking specifically of the fact that I have a stepson who's going to be graduating from Dunbar soon, in a matter of weeks, and we literally just sent him off to prom on Friday. And, you know, you have these babies, and there's so much work, physical work. It hurts to be pregnant. It hurts to give birth. You know, you nurture them. You love them. You fuss at them. You keep up after them. And it's just such this huge expense that you pay for this person that you love.
Right.
And they can just be gone. And, you know, my stepson is tall. He's a very handsome guy. And I'm sending him off into the world and hoping for the best, and that's literally all you can do. And I'm sure that Richard Collins' mom and his grandmom and his family felt the same way. They worked hard and said, you know, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to go to college. You're supposed to do well in school.
And he did it all. You know. And he did it all. He was really, I think, I don't know a lot about this young man, but all that I've read, all that I've observed, he was really the embodiment, if you will, of what a young Black man is asked to do, and he did it. I mean, go ahead, Lisa, go ahead.
And at the same time, I didn't really have as much, you know, we could write novels about all this, books and essays, and but I also want to talk about, I didn't touch on it as much, but the quote that the pastor that was the family's representative put out to say he wasn't a thug.
Right.
How messed up is it that we have to do that?
Right. That we have
and,
to.
And
right.
It's like this boy didn't deserve to die, and neither did Freddie Gray. But it's like, why there's support for him for saying, you know, you went to school, you did XYZ, that maybe wouldn't be there even among some Black people. that would say, you know, maybe he deserved it.
Right.
One person deserved it and this person didn't. But really, nobody deserves that.
No.
And there's no, it's great that he had this, that he was so driven and that he did so much and he seemed to really, like, impact Bowie's community. But we should not have to prove our humanity when we're victims.
And you're 100% right. Your point is exactly spot on, and you're right. Richard Collins' life was not worth more than Freddie Gray's life, even though they had two very different experiences as young men. Neither one of them deserve their demise, and neither one of them deserve to die a violent death. But both of them did. And that's a really important point to make. And that is something that as a community, we have to wrap our minds and our spirits around, that we shouldn't, you know, one thing that comes out on this show is, well, I'll say this. People ask me, and have asked me recently, what am I proudest of as far as my community? I mean, everybody who listens to the show knows I'm born and raised in West Baltimore. And the question keeps being asked of me, well, what are you proudest of as far as West Baltimore? And I always say, it seems like I always say the resilience of the people. But resiliency, as I've said before, is a dual-edged sword. It's one thing to be resilient means you can take a lot, but at the same time, it also means we have the habit of taking too much, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that we have to be careful about. Lisa, let me take a phone call real quick. Valerie has been holding on for a while. Valerie in Baltimore, you're on First Edition with Lisa Snowden McCray of City Paper. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay.
I would like to say is my question is, and I wonder why, the white guy that, now I don't want to say his name, is still alive, because had it been a black guy with a knife, wielding a knife and a dead person on the ground, when the police arrived, the black man would have been shot dead because he had a weapon.
Wow.
They shot, as you said, you know, people walking away from them. But this person had a weapon, and he's alive. He's alive. And that I don't understand. As far as black men, not black, the police officers not being charged with the murders of black men, I believe this is a United Nations issue, because the human rights of a group of people are being violated. Why is the United Nations? Because clearly the Department of Justice and our government do not value the lives of black people. So we need something larger to take place. And the United Nations was at one time was addressing this. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Valerie, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Lisa.
It also reminded me of the fact that people kind of wanted to do this knee-jerk thing where they said, oh, well, he had been drinking too. And it's like, no, I've drank before, and it's never, ever made me want to go out and do anything like this. So it's like people are willing to snap into these responses and protections for white people who do crimes.
Well, I mean, if we were to excuse every white person who got drunk and killed a black person, there would be no white people. I mean, that's such an inane, ridiculous argument. I mean, it just alcohol is. I've never seen a beer pull a trigger. I mean, it's an insane and stupid argument, quite frankly. And I don't even know what it means. If anything, the only thing that I've ever heard is that alcohol makes you tell the truth. So I mean, if anything, it just brought out who this gentleman really is. And I say is because he is still alive. And to Valerie's point, a black man wielding a knife would have probably been shot by police and most likely killed by police.
Mm-hmm.
That I think our recent history provides empirical evidence that is a truism in our country. Before I go back to the phones, though, I want to talk. And one of the things that I'm writing about in my column is the history of the University of Maryland. I was struck, Lisa. by the kind of tepid, measured statement by Wallace Lowe, President Wallace Lowe of the University of Maryland, in the wake of several racist incidents that have happened on the campus of the University of Maryland College Park, and then obviously the murder of Richard Collins. This president, this University of Maryland president, Lowe, the first president of color, let's be clear, in the history of the University of Maryland. I think that the frustration of many of the students at the University of Maryland, black students at the University of Maryland, is echoed by many outside of the parameters of the University of Maryland as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the things that I've been thinking about is the fact, well, I guess, I was trying to figure out how to phrase what was happening with them, their response with the piece, because I knew that they had spoken out and officials were saying, you know, they didn't want to jump to conclusions. But again, it's like, I don't, like you're saying, it seems like there's this hesitation that I'm not really understanding. And it also just makes me feel like some of this stuff, I'm 36 years old. I graduated a while ago. It was like over 10 years ago. But I feel like these kids that are in college now are seeing stuff that I didn't even see in college. And it just is really frustrating and painful that these young people have to deal with this. And it's not just that I went to Towson, so I've been kind of following a lot of really smart, driven, vocal black kids at Towson right. that are even saying, you know, there's stuff that's on their campus. You know, there was a kid, I think, a few years ago that was trying to start up a white student union. He eventually right. got kicked off campus, but it was still kind of like, a process. It wasn't an immediate thing that you would think it would be.
Well,
it usually takes a lot of these kids being super, super vocal before administration kind of does what they need to do.
Well, I mean, I came out of Towson as well. My experience there was not great, especially when it came to issues of race. I'm being polite when I say not great. And you're right. We have seen, obviously, the LBS crew. The LBS gang most of them are graduates of Towson. I know Adam and Davon are. Mm-hmm. You're right. We saw the character who started this group at Towson. I can't remember the name, but he came back on the national scene when we saw him physically assault that black woman at a Trump rally with no remorse. He's the same character that during the CPAC conference. In Maryland, during a conference or a workshop on racism and white people's response to it, suggested that somehow slaves got off well because they were fed well by their slave masters. I remember this character very well. And he is indeed a product of Towson University. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yose, your host. I'm on the phone with Lisa Snowden-McCray, associate editor and reporter for City Paper. We are continuing our reporting, our thoughts on the murder of Richard Collins, a young man who was scheduled to graduate from Bowie State University today. He was already commissioned to be a second lieutenant in the United States Army, had aspirations of becoming a general in the Army, well-loved, a deeply spiritual young man from all the accounts that I've seen. Unfortunately, he was murdered over the weekend by a young man, Sean Urbanski, who was a member of a racist Facebook group called Alt-Reich Nation. Urbanski is being held without bail, charged with first and second degree murder, despite the fact that I believe his family, through an attorney, suggested that he should be have house arrest. Incredible, the audacity of these people. Let's take a few more phone calls, Lisa. Let's go to Jalan in Northeast Baltimore. Jalan, you're on First Edition.
The audacity of these people.
Jalan, you may want to turn your radio down. Hello? I guess Jalan is gone. Let's go back to the phones, though. Let's go to Will in Baltimore. Will, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
I am fine. Good evening to you and your guest today.
I think
a couple of things that are going on, and you mentioned it briefly with the Trump phenomenon, and primarily Steve Bannon. You know, you've heard Trump when he was running for office, "Let's make America great again."
Right.
I believe Steve Bannon's slogan was "Let's make America white again," with certain statements that he did come out to make about taking this country back over again. And with that being said, you see the increase of attacks on people of color. And I think that, you know, universities and other places have just become a little bit too tolerant of this blatant racism. You know, you got nooses showing up on campuses at University of Maryland. And there's one professor at Towson University. I watched him on Square Off with your girl, Catalina Byrd, refer to the Freddie Gray situation as that Freddie Gray thing. And this is a professor that's teaching people at a university.
I'll say it again.
Black folks need to wake up, take responsibility for themselves and ownership, and put certain people in check, so to speak. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Indeed. Let's take another phone call, though. Let's go to Carolyn in Baltimore. Carolyn, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, sis. You have a comment, Carolyn?
How you doing?
Hey, Carolyn, how you doing?
Well, I'm just calling to reference to the things that's going on in the world.
Okay.
And we know that racism is really a demon. You know that, right?
Okay.
And that the Word of God said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and demonic forces of the air.
That's
so
true.
Whoever that white guy that killed that guy and whoever shot and did to people, the Word of God said you will reap what you sow. So even though they're trying to wipe us out, God is still in control. We got to stand our ground and believe that God, that he will be accountable for what he did.
Well, Carolyn, thank
you. God is in control, and he will go to jail for that.
We understand, Carolyn. Thank you. But at the same time, if you're quoting scripture, you have to quote, faith without works is dead.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, so let's not just rely on the mighty word of God. Let's take action and do what we need to do to defend ourselves and to perpetuate our legacies as communities and as a race. Let's go
another
back.
Thing.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Real quick about what the gentleman called, caller before Carolyn said, like we have to do. I almost feel like, you know, I think that we're kind of good. Like I think, you know, black people are doing a lot. It also needs to be white people need to challenge on a lot of different levels.
True.
What they allow. And it's not just the super racist ones who would never, ever probably even listen to your show, but the ones who very comfortably think, I'm not racist. I would never hang a noose. I would never, you know, burn a cross. But there's way more insidious ways to be racist and to allow this atmosphere that's been going on to continue.
Absolutely true. The ones that just sit by while they hear despicable white people say despicable things and know white people who have done despicable things and that who have supported despicable individuals. That is true. You're right. They do need to be called out. Let's go back to the phones, though. Let's go back to Jalan. I believe she has her connection back. Jalan, you're on First Edition.
Hello.
Jalan.
Hello.
Go ahead, Jalan.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, Jalan. We were trying.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. This is Joanne.
Okay, Jalan. You can go ahead.
Yes. They're so slow. Anyone can see this is racist at best. The fact that he's saying move to the right, move to the left. This is typical Jim Crow language. That we haven't moved. This poor man. I grieve for him, and in 2017, they still are refusing to give us the respect. This is what's going on. They're slow to give us the respect we deserve. I don't know when they will change. This is a heinous act, and he should get a severe penalty for this.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's a racist an heinous act as well.
Right.
I hope he's punished severely, and that's my take on it.
All right, Jillian, thank you for your take. We appreciate it. Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. Clarence, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Hey, thanks, Sean.
Yes,
I was
sir.
Just curious, wondering whether or not Uncle Sam can prosecute this dude under some obscure law or regulation that, you know, hasn't surfaced in a while because he was commissioned and he was military, so military personnel. There's got to be one out there. They got a law for everything else out there. So I got to figure that for an assault or a murder on military personnel, there must be some regulation or law somewhere that says Uncle Sam can pick up that tab. Thanks.
That's a great point, Clarence. Thank you for that insight. That never occurred to me. That's a really cogent point that Clarence makes. Wow, we have to follow up and see if that indeed is a reality. Let's take another phone call, though. Let's go to Rocky in Baltimore. Rocky, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Yes, sir, brother. How you doing, sir?
All right, brother.
I'm getting to the point now where we're in a situation that, you know, I'm 70, and I don't know where a black man going to get justice at, black people in general. What do you think? Where do you think we at?
We're in a desperate place, Rocky. We're in a very desperate place in 2017. I agree with you. Thank you for your call. But Rocky is succinct, Lisa. Where are we? I mean, where are we going to get justice in this country that seems to have none?
I don't know. I almost wish I could, you know, somebody who's 70 has a greater appreciation for the scope of history than me, who's been here less than half the time that he has.
Right.
I almost wish he could kind of explain, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't know what's quick. I don't know what the definition, because there's so many things that have to be challenged and dismantled. And I don't know what we're supposed to think about as this can happen immediately or what can take decades to unravel.
Well, we've been working on unraveling these things for decades, for generations, really since we've been here. At least, at the very least, since the Emancipation Proclamation. So we're talking more than 100 years that we have been in opposition to this type of intolerance, this type of racism, Jim Crow, slavery, all of it, and we still find ourselves in a similar position, seemingly, in the 21st century, dealing with a lot of the same backlash, white backlash and hatred that we were under during the 1800s. Don't have a lot of time left. Speaking of history, I think that we would be remiss if we did not talk about the history quickly of the University of Maryland. This is a campus that one of the most prominent presidents, Harry Curley Byrd, who the University of Maryland's football stadium, now called Maryland Stadium, was named after. His name, Byrd Stadium, was on that stadium from 1950 until 2015, when finally it was taken down. Curley Byrd was one of the most notorious segregationists and racists that this state has ever seen, and he is one of the men that is included in the pantheon, if you will, of college presidents at the University of Maryland. And I would argue that the residue of Curley Byrd's tenure for all those decades at the University of Maryland, where he literally stood in the doorway of the schoolhouse door trying to block entrance to the University of Maryland at College Park, that residue of Curley Byrd is still resonating on the campus of the University of Maryland. So I'll leave it there, I guess. That is something that I'm touching upon in my column and in writing about.
I'm really anxious to read that.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with Professor Larry Gibson at the University of Maryland Law School on the University of Maryland and the struggle to desegregate that campus. That intolerance that was so evident in the early part, or rather the mid part of the 20th century, is something that I think it seeps into. To me, it is woven into the foundation, and some people, Maryland alumni, may take exception to it, but I believe that intolerance is woven into the fabric of that school. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I think that's kind of like what I was trying to get at when I said, you know, it's hard to appreciate like the scope of history and where the things are, because there's literally things like that that are still tangible things that we've seen with our own eyes being alive in 2017. That's, you know, that's still things that part of history that we can touch, a part of negative history. So we're still fixing a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
No doubt. Lisa Snowden-McCray is an associate editor and reporter for City Paper, really wrote a dynamite commentary this week on a tragedy, the death, the murder of Richard Collins. Lisa, thank you for your time. We appreciate you, sis, as always.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Of course, of course. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the second hour of First Edition is coming up. Stay tuned. Good evening. Welcome to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yose. Coming up in the second hour, we will talk to Tom Klein of the Golden Hand Grenades Urban Renewal Project. Looking forward to that conversation. Then, of course, our man Finesse Demps of Indie Soul Magazine will talk to us about the Billboard Awards, and we'll also talk about the a health expo as well. It's all coming up in the second hour of First Edition after a final look at traffic and NPR News.